Last week, we told you that the group American Rivers named the Lower Colorado River the country's most endangered river. The group cited the number of users of the river's water and the need for Lower Colorado Basin states to finalize a drought contingency plan. Brian Betcher works with a number of the river's users. He's general manager of the Maricopa Stanfield Irrigation and Drainage District. And Brian, what do you make of American Rivers naming this stretch of the Colorado the most endangered in the country?
Well, I would think it's an exaggeration, and this comes from somebody who's been a user of Colorado, or an entity that's been a user of Colorado River water for years. We've been involved in everything from the beginning in the late 80s of us receiving water to now after having gone through a 17-year drought. And the Colorado River is probably one of the best managed river systems in the western United States and maybe even in the country. And so the people that live off the river have been managing it very well, and usually they see things like this coming well in advance, which they have in this case. So are there a lot of challenges, and are there things that have to be solved? Yes. Should it top anybody's list? I think that may be exaggerating a little bit.
One of the reasons that was given by the group for putting this river at the top of its list is sort of an encouragement for the lower basin states to continue working on a drought management plan and general management plans. And what the fellow from American Rivers told me was that if that plan gets finished, this river is not on the list next year, 100% guaranteed. Does that make a little more sense, do you think?
You know, and I think so. And some of us, where we have an entity like American Rivers who's not been involved in, I'll say, the negotiations or the process of trying to determine solutions and maybe kind of observing from the outside in, that makes sense that they would come up with that. And the fact that it's clarified by a statement, yeah, if you put this in, then we take it off the top of the list, is fine.
As far as the number of people who rely on this stretch of the river and use this stretch of the river, am I right that it's a pretty sizable number of people who rely on this and who, you know, use it on a pretty regular basis? And if something were to happen, there'd be a lot of people who would potentially be affected.
Yes, that is a true statement. You have millions of people in Southern California through Metropolitan Water District, in the Phoenix and Tucson areas that are high priority water users that access this water, and plenty of agricultural lands that use this water once you get below Glen Canyon Dam and you're dealing with the lower basin. Here's what sometimes gets misunderstood, is if we get to a shortage declaration, which would be a prediction that the elevation in Lake Mead is going to go below 1075, there's absolutely no shortage in water to any of the higher priority users. And the term shortage is used because it's a shortage declaration, but it's a level one, and your lowest priority users drop off the system. Well, that's where we get affected, because irrigated agriculture, and especially us, we're off the Central Arizona project. So the CAP is the junior priority in Arizona, and we are the junior priority of the junior priority. So our big challenge is we go below 1075, we lose a lot of surface water and have to return to groundwater pumping. That's not desirable on any number of levels to overuse the groundwater pumping, because we're trying to preserve that resource for drought.
When it comes to planning for potential shortage or potential increased conservation use, what kinds of conversations do your customers have? What kind of conversations do you maybe internally have within the district?
Well, we have a 9-member board that's elected by the district growers. And those are all production farmers, either in dairy operations or row crop and production agriculture. So they're very much attuned with the policies they develop, they have to live with. We have these discussions regularly on what to plan for. We have the benefit of being, I'll call it modern, in quote, districts, because our canal system was designed and constructed in the 80s. Now, that's 30 years old now. But we have high capacity and high flexibility. And we had groundwater levels dropping a lot before then, so a lot of growers were waiting for Colorado River water to come on board, and they'd already done a lot of efficiency improvements in their farms already to preserve the water supplies that they had. Well, that effort has just continued over the last 30 years to continue to refine those systems. What they do have, they're using very, very well. The question is, now how much more do you squeeze out of the turnip if the supply begins to drop?
Is there a consensus on that?
you know what? There's a lot of options, and it's a little bit like a menu where you're going to, you know what, I'm going to do a little bit from this category. I'm going to see if I can develop some different on-farm systems for a part of my farm. I'm going to try and look to bring in some other crops that might have a little bit more of a positive margin for profitability, so I can farm less land, therefore using less water, or figure out a way that I can squeeze more production out of the water I do have. And so farmers are always looking at technology upgrades and crop developments. It's agribusiness, and they still have to make a living.
Brian Betcher is General Manager of the Maricopa-Stanfield Irrigation and Drainage District. Brian, thanks a lot for your time.
No problem. Call back anytime.